97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential show. We have a great show in store for you for this holiday season, and it is a show on something near and dear to all of us, which is the subject of giving. And I have an expert on giving here with us. Welcome, Dr. Corinthus.
An expert? I'm trying to be an expert. One of my personal mantras is, I live to give.
And what more expert do you need than that, right? And his title is actually Dr. Corinthus, the Empowermentalist. And I love the fact that you have owned that and assigned that to yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the premise is there are principles that each of us need to grasp and live by, and that will enhance our life and our life experience and our existence here. And having those principles and learning those principles and sharing them, it's empowering. So since I'm taking on the mindset that I have these principles and I'm going to teach them, write about them, and they're not new principles, it's something old. And then you just, every generation, it seems like in the Bible, I am also a pastor, but in the Bible it talks about that was will not be and that used to be is, you know, nothing new under the sun. So it seems like every generation we forget certain things. And it's not passed along in families. Most of us get into just working, and we're not really sharing many good quality things with our families. We talk about, you know, sometimes morality.
Right.
And we talk about certain, but principles that if you live by them, they're as exact as mathematical. It's a formula with mathematical exactitude. So taking these principles, empowering people. So I said, what am I going to call myself? What is the thing that I'm going to have? I'm going to spend my life work as that's empowering people.
Yeah.
So when I thought about it, I said, look, empowermentalist. I've taken it. And so that's my goal in life.
Well, and I have noticed now, Dr. Corinthus and I have been friends for many years. He was on the show a few years ago, but I've noticed a big change in you since you've kind of owned or really taken this formula into your heart and begun expressing it. Have you felt those changes within you?
I felt the change because it's an awareness. Because once you start, there's no way to build on principles and be principle-centered and not enhance your life experience and change your mindset. And then there's no way to master principles and not have the mindset to master people. And when I say master people, I don't mean be their master.
Right.
But have the right heart and love for them.
Right.
And embrace. Because all of us, going back, I don't want to sound preachy, but the Bible said that God made male and female in his image. So we all are in the image of God, and he breathed into us the breath of life. So then since each of us have the breath of God in us, that makes us God stock.
Yep.
So that means that we have that life. So unfortunately, our society and media and all these things and history have caused us to be divisive. Look at different ones with fear and apprehension and jealousy and regret. But now it's time to change those principles because life is wonderful. Dealing with people, loving people, we all have the same thing. We shouldn't. And one thing I used to hear all the time, people would say, "Well, when I see individuals, I don't see color."
Right.
That's a big mistake.
And I'll preface this. Back in probably the 80s or 90s, that was the big thing. Like, if you were cutting edge, you didn't see color.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, no. You've got to kind of see color. You know, it's almost like that's a holdover from a different generation that was trying to be forward-thinking.
And that's it. Unfortunately, when you try to build on a negative premise,
right,
you come up with some other things. That's just like a person that's been abused. Then they come up with different things about them, their lives to stop abuse and never face it again. So they're building their foundation on those negative things.
Right.
Nothing about our life should be built on negativity. But when a person says they don't see color, then you don't see me as I am.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with seeing color, but just don't regret or diminish color because it's different than yours. So people try to be profound, and we know the intent of the heart sometimes. Well, I don't see color. They're saying that I see everybody as the same, but you can't see me as the same.
Right.
You know, it's just getting the principle, having the right heart. Then we can acknowledge one another, celebrate each other, and celebrate life. And see, that's the whole thing. That once I've taken that mindset, you know, then you got to see people and love people. And one of the things that we do as a family, and I encourage people as a church and people anywhere I go, because I deal with the sacred and the secular, I tell them, meet someone new every day, embrace them, celebrate them, get out of judgment, save judgment for judgment day.
Right. God's got that covered.
That's right. So let God take care of his business. You take care of yours. But get out of judgment, save judgment for judgment day, and deal with people. Celebrate. Find something good. Seek the God in a person.
Now, I just love that.
Some people are going to be, they're going to rub you the wrong way.
And that does happen.
And some people have an evil intent and an evil heart. Once you discern that, you stay away from those people, right, even if it's a family member.
You know. Which is, and I'm glad you said that, because that's not always easy to see or to understand. Because, and I do see it because I work with so many families. Mm-hmm. There are families that do not have the best interests of other family members in their heart.
And you have to, because a lot of times people go to family reunions, family events, and they do it because they have this unwritten rule that since it's your family, you have to be patient, forgiving. Right. And even though you should be forgiving, you should take anything from them.
Yes.
I've always been under the impression, even when it comes down to people won't like this, even if it came down to my parents, if my parents was working against my purpose,
yes,
then there's no way for me to continue to, I wouldn't have any hate for them,
right,
any disregard for them. But every time I go around, there's something negative, something that's sending out the room. And then I'm going to send you a card and I'll call you.
It's a neutralization and not, you know. But you have to neutralize those negative aspects. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I think people are afraid to say that.
Yeah.
But again, I do see it. I know it happens. I hear it from my clients. It's like the parents. And sometimes the parents' intents aren't even negative, but the person's purpose that person needs to fulfill, like, mm-hmm, let's say they're just this beautiful soul that's very artistic, and then the parents coming through saying, no.
You have to do it this way.
This is not going to work, and you have to be this or do this. And it's like you're not giving the core freedom that the soul needs to grow and explore and become what it can be.
Well, see, now with saying that, they say, you sound like a tree hugger. And that, my daughter been calling me a hippie and all that, because, you know, I was saying I'm going to start walking every day because, and one of the negative things, and we'll get on the giving piece, but mm-hmm, one of the things about advancement in technology, when you go out and walk and you experience the elements, the trees and the life that's from all the plants,
yes,
it's life-giving.
Yes.
But now we can't walk. We have the concrete, the big buildings, you know. You got all this blockage of positive energy, you know. So you have to find a place that's safe where you can walk to experience the trees and all that. So normally you walk down a pathway with buildings around it, just have a walkway in between it. And walking is good, but to really be meditative, to be reflective, mm-hmm, and to experience, because the Bible said wisdom is crying in the streets. And I start looking into that. Wisdom is crying in the streets. So that means that the voice of God and the wisdom of God and principles from the beginning even to now are floating in the atmosphere, mm-hmm, and our spirits must connect.
Right.
But we got too much noise going on. We got the computer. We got the headphones. We have everything around the buildings, the horns, the lights, the fire trucks. You know, it's hard to hear the wisdom.
This is true.
So we have to find some place where we can go and bond with nature.
I like how you're saying that, because I have found for my own meditative state, I actually get into a better meditative state when I'm physically moving, mm-hmm, as opposed to when I'm just sitting there and saying, okay, I'm going to be meditative. Yeah. Well, then my nose itches I'm thirsty.
I
need to clean that, whatever. And I can't be present. But for some reason, moving, especially in nature, it's a much more, and it's a joyful presence that you can have.
Yes, and it's fascinating. You know, we sacrifice because we walk down the streets on the walking path because of all the buildings there. Every now and then, now I'm starting to look for a tree and just stand by the tree. You know, it's maybe one tree in the whole path. So,
yeah. I see you.
Yeah, there you are. You know, give me something. So if wisdom is crying in the streets, I'm tuning my spirit into hearing what it has to say. And really,
would you say receiving and hearing, or hearing, or both, or kind of, sort of, equal? I don't know.
Well, if you really hear, you receive. Mm-hmm. To truly hear, because when the Bible talks about God hears us, that means he hears with us and he's acting on it. Because I can't say he heals me if I'm praying for my illness and I don't get healed. It doesn't. There's no indication that he hears me. And even though he hears my voice, because he hears everything, but to hear me means to respond to me. Mm-hmm. Just like our children. Sometimes we've told them, you're not listening to me. They heard everything we said, but they didn't respond. You know, so, you know, it's that he and the scripture said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So that means really responding.
I love that. Well, we're going to take a break, and we are going to talk about giving. So when we come back, we will be talking about giving this season. You're listening to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment, check out our website, artofpotential.com. Have some awesome blogs up there, all kinds of fun stuff. And if you have a moment, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to the Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with the Art of Potential show, and I'm having a fabulous interview with Dr. Corinthus, the Empowermentalist. So, Dr. Corinthus, let's talk about the holiday season. We're around our families. We've got all these traditions we're part of. How are we to define ourselves in the traditions and outside of the traditions which are part of us? It's kind of a complicated thing is we're trying to grow and expand to then be cast in roles that were, you know, assigned many years ago.
Well, that's the nature of man, is to build on tradition. Even during Jesus' time, he said, your traditions have excluded me from the gospel. One of the things I've found out, even in church or in our faith community, tradition is a lazy way of trying to build on faithfulness. Tradition keeps you from hearing anything else. Tradition locks you in, and it keeps you, as the old traditional people would say, on a straight and narrow.
Yeah.
God is not confined, and principles are not confined to our experiences and those of our teachers. There's so much more to life and so much more to us.
Yes.
Our tradition keeps us from growing. Even though we have fun every year, we go here, and some of us, we hated going.
Oh, didn't we, though?
Hated doing the same thing, hated the tree. You know, then once you start finding out the truth about things and you grow up and you have your own experience, who wants to keep going to the same place every year doing the same thing?
Right.
But it's an easy way to say, this is our family thing.
Right, this is what we do.
But it locks us in. So we have to have a jail of the two worlds. That there will be some part of the things that you continue on. But then you have to be open to new experiences.
Well, and in some ways it's kind of scary because our traditions also define us. Mm. You know, they're, we do this or we do that or we are this or we are that. So it gives us, in a sense, a boundary or a definition of self. Like, this is my tradition. I'm Irish. We always do this or whatever. So there's that. And then there's also some, I don't want to say scared because that's trepidation about redefining the self without a tradition, because it's almost like you don't have a point. And I think that's what I love about your work. You're saying, you can redefine yourself.
See, redefining of traditions is you're taking a personal step to have the personal courage. Tradition and its fear and all of that trepidation, all of that is based upon fear. Redefining yourself opens the door for you. People are saying, think outside of the box. Even if you think outside of the box is still a room. You want to think outside of the building, you know.
Right. You know. Unless, no boundary whatsoever.
Right. Of course, the box may be outside, and that's another conversation altogether. But most of the time, we allow ourselves a freedom. Most people don't know the joy of new experiences. And there's a joy. There's no way. And I said this, and some of the Christians got upset at me, but they when they thought about it, God is not even confined to 66 books.
Right. Yes.
But we confine everything we have. If it's the people who say, if it's not in the Bible, I don't want to do it. Please. What are you talking about? You know, if it's not in the Bible, they didn't have concrete buildings in the Bible. They had some, but I'm saying the skyscrapers that we have now.
Right.
You know, so we can't. define our, and like you said, and that was key, we define ourselves by our traditions, but then I'm making the leap to say I don't want to be defined by what was.
And that is what I just love, because when you're doing the work that you do and having the new experiences, you're also creating a new you. Like, you're evoking things from within you that have been latent, are there, but they're latent because they haven't had the provocation to bring them out. So you don't even know yourself in some ways.
And most people think they know themselves, but they know themselves by what they've done.
Right.
And what you've done. And it's the ones that branch out that really are the people that define our life, that causes us to adapt what they've done. Most of us, I was talking to Sydney, my daughter, the other day, and I said, how many people in the United States? I think it's some like 300 some million people in the United States. And I said, any given time, there's only about 10 to 12 people in certain areas that really surface as meeting themselves where they are, taking advantage of who they are. The rest of us are robots. And all a robot
so
is
right, and it's so
all a robot is a slave, someone mm-hmm. that goes at the whim of someone. And the rest of right. us are more robots. So if there's 300 some million people here, there's at least 100 times more that have died, that have gone to the grave. Mm-hmm. And you only have out of any generation. And I sent her a text yesterday because she was somewhere else. And I said, what would be your impact on this generation? What will you do? Because out of any generation, out of all these generations that have passed, only a few people impact. We're still talking about Socrates,
right,
Aristotle,
right.
You know,
right.
And these people. We're still talking about them.
And anchoring in them, anchoring
right.
our own identity in them
that's
and
right.
what they did.
And they were forward-thinking. And you notice how society is. Many people, even when the transition from church, when the Catholic Church broke off with the Lutheran Church and all these different ones, the different pioneers that broke off, they were considered heretics, even in business. But after a while, it
right.
takes on. It's something about humanity that until we all gather to accept this tradition as a tradition, we won't accept it.
And it's almost like we'll let them go and be the sacrificial lambs. Like,
that's
all right,
right,
you go ahead because
right.
I'm going to watch you fail. You're going to fail.
That's right.
Oh, you didn't fail. And, well, you look even happier than you did the last time I saw you.
And then they'll say, they'll give you this, and I get this. Oh, I knew you was going to become this. You know, no. You were sitting back there watching me squander. I knew it. You had it in you all the time, and you were working against me. You know, so it's amazing. But the other thing is traditions cause us to be addicted to the familiar. That's one of the biggest problems in society. What was is so important. That's right. I know in my community, in the African-American community, the most popular music stations are the oldies.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the new genre
right.
takes a while to get. You know, we're still singing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. These are Christmas songs that we're still singing them, and they're still the number one songs, even after these people been dead so long. We still have the same tradition,
right.
and it's going to take another 100 years for a new group of Christmas songs
right.
to come along. But we're addicted to the familiar, and we don't allow ourselves to experience difference, and we feel comfortable. Then we don't have to think. See, the thing about traditions and what was is we don't have to think. We just do what is being told us. That sounds like a robot to me.
It does. And it's a safety thing. And it reminds me, honestly, what you're talking about reminds me of Martin Luther King Jr. in that he kept saying, there's a new narrative here. We can write a new narrative. This narrative we have isn't working to get, you know,
right.
us what we need. And I see parallels in what you're saying, in that you're saying the tradition, you don't have to hold on to it. You can write your own narrative. You can
that's
take
right.
your life wherever you want it.
And that's the wonderful thing, because first we're spirit first, then we are housed in a body.
Yep.
We limit all of our experiences to our body experiences. And then if we would, a spirit is free. And the scripture said God is a spirit. That's why when people try to say, well, this is God, and God is a spirit. A spirit has no body.
Right.
So then if God is a spirit and he has no physical body, then he's free. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
And then the wonderful thing about it, we don't get it. And that's why it's hard for me to treat you bad, because the scripture says your body is the temple of God. So if God is in you, how dare I treat you with disdain and respect, and God is there.
Right.
So it's a new mindset. It's an old thought process.
Yes.
But it's being rebirthed.
Yes, rebirthing.
Because they say there's nothing new under the sun, and it seems like it's a new generation, just like fashions come back, you know, different things go, and we come back, oh, this is a new style. Ain't no new style. We were doing that, you know, because I was born in the 60s, so we were doing this then.
Yep.
You know, and it comes back every 20 years or 30, or every generation something come back, and they, and like I tell my daughter, you all think you all created something. You all haven't created anything. This is a designer. And see, the wise person will look at what was and enhance it to create what can be and what is. But most of us just take what was and build on what was and just keep on going with what was.
And hold on to it.
Yes.
Fight for it.
And we'll go to the grave for it, even though some of the traditions are wrong.
Yes.
Because if we really knew the origin of some of these things, like Halloween, and Jesus' birthday, Jesus wasn't born in December.
No.
And it's a day that we celebrate. He wasn't born in December. He was a sacrificial lamb doing Passover. So he was doing that around April and, you know, in that time.
In the spring.
But
new
we
beginning.
Celebrate, and I was talking to someone, and I still do it because, you know, that's overall, because who wants to be a radical, say, this is not Jesus' birthday.
Right.
I would never do that. Give a gift, and we're getting to give it.
We are getting together. Yeah, we are.
Give a gift and just celebrate life. But you know, so many traditions, so many things, because someone said this is, and once everybody accepts it, then the rest of us follow.
Right.
You know, and then no one said, and then you feel you've been trained or conditioned to accept what is and not look for what can be.
All right, we're going to take a break on that. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. I'd love to hear your comments about the show.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM. WCHF.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Dr. Corinthus, the Empowermentalist. We are talking about giving. We just haven't quite got there yet. So we were just talking about Jesus. You know, he was born during the Passover season, probably March, April-ish.
Yeah. And,
you know, how traditions, kind of we hang on to them, not necessarily for all the best reasons. But let's do try to talk about giving here, okay?
Well, the whole thing about even the celebration of his, even though we know, understand the truth about his birth, but the main thing about Jesus was his resurrection. This is because every man was born.
Right.
Every man is going to die.
Right.
But the resurrection that separates Jesus from the rest of us.
Right.
Now, Lazarus got up, but he died again.
Right.
Jesus got up and he never, but his purpose was to be the Savior and to understand. So we won't take that. So if you, how many of you would like your birthday celebrated? If your birthday is in January, you want us to celebrate your birthday in August. I don't think we would like that. No one says happy birthday to you in January. And then here come August. We have a birthday for Christian. Wait a minute, that's not my birthday. So, you know, but I'm sure. But
well, there's a lot
about
spring, though, too. Spring is a new beginning. It's,
it
has kind of, but I think the Easter season and the birth might just be too close for the human mind to be able to take it all in at the same time.
Well, I think, it's conditioning.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we do what we accept as what we should do.
Right.
What's acceptable for us, or whatever it is.
And what we built our life around.
Yes.
We build around these holidays. We build our vacation schedules, everything is built around these things.
But sometimes it's time, and not for this holiday, but sometimes we have to personally start rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge that we have, because if I continue to walk in the pathway that's been set before me, I really don't have my individuality. The only thing that makes me different, we dress like everyone else.
Yes.
We, if a new style, if one of our stars come out with a new hairdo, a new hair color, we change it.
Right.
We want to look like this one. If they come out with a new dress, we want to, even though we may not look as good in it, we'll wear the dress or the suit.
We try.
I'll never forget during, I think it was in the 70s, the elephant bells, bell-bottom pants.
Oh, my gosh, those were.
And with the platform shoes.
Yes.
And one time I went out and.
Were you dressed in those? Platform shoes and elephant bells.
I tried it.
Okay.
But I didn't get out there. I bought about 5 pair of elephant bells, and I was on my way out the house, and something spoke to me. What are you doing? I looked at myself and said, what in the world are you doing? So never again, I said, and I bought the pants and I gave them away. I'll never do it because I was trying to fit in with the group,
right.
But I was looking like a plum fool.
Right.
So I don't know. Let's get on giving. Giving is a principle that's been established by God. I know in Genesis it said that as long as the earth remained, there will be seed time and harvest. Seed time is really talking about not just giving of finances, but giving of time, planting a seed. Your thoughts are seeds.
Yes, they are.
Every thought that you have, good or bad, is going to harvest something, especially if you think it and let it germinate like we do when we think on something a long period of time, good or evil.
Yes, and it has an energy to it.
Yes.
Every thought has an energy that's going to attract energy like it.
Mm-hmm. And if you persist, because thoughts can come in your mind and then you can transform those thoughts. Or most of us not used to having mind control.
Which is so important. Oh, I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about this.
And we have the power to control our thoughts. And your thoughts, like you said, are energy.
Right.
And concentrated thought is concentrated energy. Right. You know, and so if you would spend the time thinking a certain way, but we feel that thoughts are like leaves or birds that's flying over the air. They just come. And when a thought comes to your mind, you feel that you have to act upon it.
Right. Like it's supposed to be there.
Right.
Like it's almost divine. Well, that must be a divine thought if I'm having it.
That's right. Since I came
in. But we all know some of our thoughts.
We know a lot of things. A lot of things are inspired by your environment, your culture, your likes and dislikes, your fears and all of that. But when we get to the point where we intentionally think things, that's when we start really living. And so many people have impressed thoughts in our minds, but when you start thinking things and start taking ownership of your own thoughts.
Ooh, this is big stuff here, people. This is big stuff.
When I take ownership of my own thoughts, then I start living. So most of us really haven't started living. Mm-hmm. It's pertaining to giving. It's a principle that God has set up, and that's God's way of distributing his wealth to you, giving. I was reading the magazine Philanthropy.
Mm-hmm. Chronicle of Philanthropy.
That's right. Chronicle of Philanthropy. So I was I was looking in the matter, and I have to subscribe to it because I went to the beautiful Chapel Hill Library. I hadn't been to the library in a long time, so I went over there this week. And I went, and they had changed it because, see, I hadn't seen it in a few
years. Oh, it is
nice.
My God,
that's fabulous.
It is.
That's just fabulous. So I was looking through some of the, and just looking at the level of giving that people give that have the notion. It's only poor people and those of us that's trying to get in the middle class that have a lot of apprehensions about giving. People that have, they understand it's a principle, that if you master the principle of giving, and the Bible talks about it.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about it. It said, give to him that ask. Now, some scriptures we just skirt over.
Right.
It didn't say give to him that ask that you know what he's going to do with it.
Right.
Most of us are in something that we shouldn't be. That was a challenge I had. Because I was walking down the street, and I thank you for your post that you had about a fella asking you for something and what should you do. And most of us say, well, it's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, people that are, the Bible even talks about a man that's hungry would steal. And he would do whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's caught, he'd just give it back. But you don't mind a man stealing because he's hungry. And I'm not talking about stealing from you, robbing
right,
you. But, you know,
right.
Take some bread or something. But when we think about, like, the gentleman that you experienced, and he was, the gentleman that you experienced, and he was asking for certain things, and you'll see him out there every day. Think about it. A homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them a dollar, we give them $2. Do you think that you can survive off a dollar and $2? And sometimes people that have no other way, they can't be honest with you because you look at them in disdain for walking up on you. So they come up with something like, you know, my friend broke down in the car.
Right.
Or come up with some type of what we would call a lie.
Right.
To
it's
get
a survival.
You to give something. It's
right.
Really a survival tactic. One time I was looking at a guy and he was he asked me for something, and I said, no, I'm not. I said, no, what you going to do with it? He said, man, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's none of your business. Because, you know, some of these people even an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And once I studied, you know, that abuse, that's one of the hardest
right.
addictions to break. Like the young lady, Amy Winehouse, that died.
Yes.
One of the things was she was trying to kick the habit. Her blood and her body responded to the alcohol automatically. So when you're trying to kick the habit, your body goes into reverse.
Right.
And it would die on you because you're not giving it what it's used to. So alcohol is one of the hardest addictions when you start study addictive behavior. So as I was dealing with the guy, and then the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is on the inside, said, what business is that of yours? He's just trying to cope. And then being a Christian pastor, the scripture said, no man comes to God except he draws him. And then it said, unless God draws him, he's trying to cope. He still has his life in him. So the Proverbs, no, I think it's Ecclesiastes says, I think it's in the 11th chapter. It said, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou nor neither this or that or both shall prosper. So it's telling you to give all day, really. But it says, now, if we, especially when it comes down to giving, if we wait for the weather to be good, and the same scripture said, if you wait for the condition to be right, you won't give.
Right.
If you wait to the right time, you won't give.
Right. And yes. No, and that's kind of like waiting for the right mood to do something.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And see, giving is a principle because the scripture said, he that giveth to the poor, lend it to the Lord. So I preached a sermon some time ago, and I'm going to write a book on it. I'm in business with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I give to the poor, I lend to God. And that's a business transaction. You notice he said lend, and then God will repay. But it didn't say lend to the person. He said give. That's why now, since my mantra is I live to give, I don't lend any money. If someone needs something, they ask me for it, I give it to them. Now, some people need the discipline of paying back. They say they're going to pay it back. That's on you. But I'll never follow you. I'll never chase you. And some people, I said, don't worry about it. Some people need that discipline. You know, they get something from you. You know, they need to learn how to pay things back. But then generally, I don't lend money. Someone needs something. If I have it for you, I'm going to give it to you. If I don't have it, I don't have it.
Right.
But if I have it, and I don't make the church, I don't make the choice to not give because I don't like you. The scripture talks about that too. Jesus was talking about it. Give to your enemies. Heap coals of fire on the head. And imagine giving to somebody you're afraid of. Why are you afraid anyway? So if the principle was giving and it said give to him that ask, it didn't say ask him what he's
right.
getting it for. But notice you don't hear too many sermons on that about give to him that ask.
No.
And that's in the same Bible we use when we want right. to whip somebody right. about how they dress.
We want to beat them over the head with it.
About a woman's place and all of that.
Right.
But it said, give to him that ask. So the principle of giving really is, if you master it, because if you take it that I'm in business with God and that I'm helping some, this is a soul that they may be coping. If they have the wrong intentions, it's something I had to practice when I preach. There's a gentleman that was African-American. I see him all the time. And he's asking, then he has a sign that said, I have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he found some things put in his nose. So, of course, my heart went out to him because I've been seeing him for a long time.
Right, right.
One day I saw him in the store. He didn't have it on. He was walking around. And I didn't have any money. And he was in there. He had a pocket full of money and he was buying something. He was sitting out talking to somebody about investments. I got angry. Because you acted a lie.
Right, right.
First, he had a sign that said, my wife has cancer. Then,
right.
You know, and then he kept on that sign.
This guy over by Home Depot.
Probably. And then a couple of, so he said, then he said, have cancer. Then he had the little things in his, like he's getting oxygen. But then I saw him, one time my family and I saw him, and he knew I saw him.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have his stuff on. He was walking. He had a young lady that he was with, and they went into a cab, and they were, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. Some people, that's their, you know, that's a gimmick they have.
Right.
So then when I saw him the way he was doing, because one fella I gave something, and I was like, oh, Lord, he's I'm homeless and whatever. Then when I went in the store that night, because I just had a few dollars, I was going to go and buy something, I was going to have breakfast for dinner, because it's cheap to get a dozen eggs and you know, and something like that. He had a carton full of groceries. He had a woman with him. I said, now, wait a minute. And I asked him, I said, now, if you're homeless, where are you taking all these groceries?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man, you tripping. So there are gimmicks out there.
You've been down that road.
Yeah, so then when I take the approach that I'm making an investment in God,
mm-hmm.
then I don't even think about it. So now I purposely, and like we were trying to say on your site, society set us up where we don't give. Now, notice it's a principle that God has established. So now you got debit cards, credit cards. So we don't carry money anymore.
Right.
So now when someone see you and they ask you for something, you say, I don't have any cash on me. Now, we would be amazed if they pull out one of those cell phones and had that, you know, slide the credit card.
Yeah. Let me take it. I got a square here.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it is. I'll look for square. But so now what we do as a family, I make sure anytime I get paid, I keep dollars, $5. Now, my son, he's taking it to another level. He said, I'll never give anybody anything less than $5. Huh. And when they ask me, then sometime I pursue, he'll give 10, 20, whatever, you know, and that's it, because he's bought into the concept that giving is a principle that we should do. Because we get all excited about Christmas, feeding families for Christmas. How many families only eat once a month? Who can eat once a month?
Yeah.
Who can eat just around Thanksgiving and Christmas time? And after that, we don't give anymore. And then we love giving to organizations that say they give, but they spend a lot of money on salaries and stuff like that and administrative things. But if I need something, you're going to say, well, I gave to Red Cross, so go to Red Cross. I had to find Red Cross. Like some of the people on your site would say, I send them to the church.
Right.
How can I get to the church? And then most churches are not open 24 hours.
Right.
And I'm not against people, you know, going to the church and giving, because that's why one of the things that Cheryl and I, we're going to produce, we're working out some things. So we're going to, and I'm just putting this out there, we're going to have a restaurant, and I'm going to call it Cheryl's Kitchen, and it's going to be free.
Wow.
But it's not going to be, it's going to be, we're going to go to some of the colleges and stuff and get the students that's in cooking. We're going to let them try that, and it's going to be a healthy restaurant.
Yeah.
And we're going to have silverware and stuff like that where people can come in, and because when you give to somebody, you want to have that, and there's someone coming to eat and they bring their family, because there's a lot of people that work. They call them the working poor.
No, and you are on to some. We have to take a break, but I do want to talk about that when we get back. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and we've been talking about giving and how important it is to make giving just a part of your lifestyle. We have Dr. Corinthus, the empowermentalist, here, and what I'd like to do just to wrap up the show is talk about how you are leading yourself. You were just talking about Cheryl's Kitchen, and that's a really radical idea to have your wife have a kitchen and you all have a kitchen that gives everything away for free, you know, and adds dignity to the eating experience. But this actually is just one of the many things you've been doing to kind of lead your life and to create a new world, if you will. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, and just briefly about Cheryl's Kitchen. We look at people, and sometimes, because I've had to ask people for things, and your pride, your embarrassment.
Right.
And all of that goes into it. But if you don't ask, you don't get it. The Bible said, asking it and you shall receive. Asking it shall be given. And it's not just talking about asking God.
Right.
It's talking about anything. Most people think, and I was talking to my daughter, many women don't ask for raises because, you know, they feel, I don't want them to think that I'm being so-and-so. And they said a lot of times women don't ask for raises, so they get paid less. But the men would go in and say, look, it's time for me to get one. But we try to do the humble motherly thing, and, you know, I'm not going to ask. You know, so asking is important. Now, if someone gets offended by asking, then that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's your boss or whether it's somebody in the street, people ask people. I've never seen, because they made it against the law for people to stand on the street to ask. And, you know, people call the police because someone asked them for something that they did not have. I don't understand that principle, you know, but that's something else. That's a legal thing. But to have people, Cheryl's Kitchen will be based upon a premise that people have dignity. We want to make it dignified. They can bring their families and come and eat a healthy meal.
Right.
A healthy meal, and it'll be a fine restaurant, so they can come in and they can sit down, and we'll have waiters and stuff. And then we'll finance it because it'll be free, so we'll pay the people that work there. Yeah. We'll pay the waiters. We'll pay them a decent salary. Nobody will make minimum wage. They'll make at least $10 an hour because we know that we're not looking for tips. Now, some people, there's the working poor, as we start talking about.
Yes, there is.
There's people that work every day, work hard.
Work hard, work two and three jobs every day.
And still don't have enough money sometimes to feed their family.
They don't.
And so families like that
can
come
in. And they're right on the edge.
Right.
And they're exactly what you want. There are people who are working hard to get out of poverty, and yet the system is set up so that they have to stay in poverty. It just drives me crazy.
Right. Because look at the system. The credit bureaus, we think is government, but it's private business. And they direct everything. So most people, when they're going to hire you or give you a house or whatever, you need a place to live, they're going to look at your credit.
Right.
If you haven't had enough money, they're going to say, no, you're a risk.
Right.
So then you left out there in subpar surroundings, subpar things. So then you're paying, then they pay you, charge you more interest. You want to buy a car, you can't go to a traditional loan, so you got to go to a loan shark or
right.
car dealers, used car dealers, is buy here, pay here. And then, you know, they charge you 25, 30% interest. So then all of this keeps you down.
Yes.
So then when you build something that say, all right, you can come, you can eat. You can eat a meal for free, dignified. You and your children can eat anyway to have healthy things. It'll be all based upon, because there ain't no sense in feeding the hungry, and you're going to feed them the type of food that's going to kill them. We
right,
give them old
right.
refuse food, food
right.
that's not healthy for them. Give them food that's killing them anyway.
Right.
So you get a diet, meat that's cooked with the proper oils and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just do things the right way.
It's a great idea. I really, really like it.
So
really
I'll
is.
Keep you posted when we
Please do.
When we're kicking off.
And tell our listeners, if they want to come hear you preach, where are you?
Well, lately I've just started at the Confident Starting a Bible Class. Lately I've taken a sabbatical because I've been doing a lot of traveling and
yes.
writing.
Yes, which is great.
So
I can't wait
back.
To read your book.
Right, so I'm working on the one that's coming out, and it should be out in January. It's Operation Better Me.
Fantastic.
And then the sub book is Pocket Strength, and it's just principles that's based upon, you know, keeping your pocket. You pull something out and just when you need it.
That's 100%.
Yeah. So, but we're having a Bible study at the Comfort Inn on Wednesdays, every Wednesday. Well, not Christmas Eve. Well, this Wednesday would be the last Wednesday for this month because okay. Christmas Eve is next Wednesday and New Year's Eve. So,
yeah.
you know, people be out doing their things. But we'll be at the Comfort Inn off of 55.
Okay.
It's right on what's it highway off of
I'll put a link to the to the place on my website.
Right. And so we'll be there tomorrow night for what's today? Monday is today Monday? We'll be there Wednesday night. Yeah, I'm getting my days mixed up. But feel free to come and thank you so much for having me. And it's a joy. Thank you and your husband for touching my daughter's life and you touching our lives. What an mm-hmm. awesome family.
Well,
what
thank
an awesome
you.
Family.
And thank you for being on the show. Fabulous show. And to everyone, I hope you have a happy holiday and wonderful New Year.